You are listening to Strong Tower Radio's Resurrection Then and Now, a complete look at the meaning of the resurrection, and we left off at the ascension of Jesus in Acts 1:11, where the angels spoke to those at the ascension, saying, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Pastor Jay, will you pick it up from there?
Yes, this became the great hope of the Christian church, the early Christian church. It's still the hope of the church. It's always been the hope of the church that Jesus will come again. He came the first time, so he's coming back. And all of Christianity is really driven on that. I don't know of too many churches that at some place in their theological teaching, they don't teach that Jesus will come again. Now, some of them have spiritualized it away and all that kind of thing. But the Bible's very clear. This is a literal coming. Just, Tom, as you pointed out, the same Jesus will come in like manner. When we come to the early church in the New Testament, we see them going through persecutions and great difficulties. One of the great churches was the church in Thessalonica, often called the Thessalonians. And in that church, they started losing loved ones before Jesus had returned. Of course, he's still not returned. And we're going to talk about that in our next segment. But they started losing loved ones, and they became worried that if they lost somebody before Jesus came, that somehow that person couldn't be saved. They just had kind of got fuzzy there. And Paul writes this whole first epistle, a letter to the Thessalonians, setting the record straight, reassuring them of his teaching that he basically had taught when he was with them. And now he's helping them to focus on the fact that they have nothing to worry about, that Jesus will indeed, despite the trouble going through, despite the losing of loved ones, he will come back and rescue his church, both the church that is alive and the church that is sleeping in the dust, by the means of the resurrection. So I want to nail this down for our listeners. The Apostle Paul takes the resurrection of Jesus and connects it to the resurrection of Christians at the end of time when Jesus comes again. So these three things are forever tied together. The resurrection of Jesus is tied to the resurrection of his saints when Jesus comes again. You cannot separate the coming of Jesus from the resurrection of Jesus or from the resurrection of his saints. So we're going to see some of these great texts. I think the first text we want to look at is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we want to look at verse 2. And I'm going to start with verse 3. Remembering, Paul is saying he's remembering them, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love. And notice what he says, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this patient thing is something that Jesus reiterated over and over again. In fact, you go back to Matthew 24, you go back to Matthew 25, when Jesus talks about his second coming. He talks about being patient, being faithful. In fact, when you get to the book of Revelation, chapter 14, when it talks about all the terrible events in the end of time, including the mark of the beast, God's people are represented here is the patience of the saints. So the patience of the saints is also pictured in Revelation chapter 13, the patience of the saints. We have to have patience. Patience because we have hope. Patience because we have assurance. Think of Israel who waited 4,000 years for the appearance of the Messiah. Think of Simeon and Anna who, when they had the witness of the Holy Spirit and the Messiah had come the first time, how happy they were. Friends, we are going to be so happy if we have patience. Don't give up hope because we have assurance that Jesus is coming again. Talking about assurance, listen to this wonderful text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance." So when we have the power of the Holy Spirit, operating in our lives and it's operating in the church, that again is assurance that Jesus is coming again. Verse 10 says, talking about them, they've been delivered from idols and to serve the living and true God. Verse 10, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come, or from the judgment, or the penalty. There's that justification again. And then look at chapter 2, verse 19 of 1 Thessalonians. Then he says, is it not even you? He's saying we're rejoicing in hope. We have great joy. And then he says, our joy is you. And that joy is going to be found with you, Thessalonians, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. So that's going to get us into this whole issue of what happens when Jesus comes. And this is how Paul comforted the Thessalonians, because he comforted them by telling them, don't worry about those that are dying in Jesus. They are going to simply sleep to the morning of the resurrection. When Jesus comes, they're going to be resurrected and you're going to be with them. Cam, why don't you pick up there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18. This is a powerful picture that will comfort all Christians through all ages, through all times. So as you see friends who are martyred, you see loved ones who go to sleep. My parents are waiting for Jesus to come. They went to sleep in the hope of the resurrection. It's not dying now and going to heaven or hell. We've talked about that before, but it's waiting patiently for the coming of Jesus. Cam, take us into these wonderful verses.
We find Paul expounding to the Thessalonians, giving them hope. He says in verse 13 of chapter 4, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. He's not talking about a nap. He's saying those who have died. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so will God bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So Paul is here connecting us, as he is his immediate recipients of his letter. He's connecting them relationally to Jesus, saying just as Jesus died and rose again, God will, with that same power, resurrect those who fall asleep in Jesus, who die in the faith. So be of good courage, my Thessalonian brothers. There is no need to be afraid that your loved ones have died. They died in the hope of Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 15 to explain further. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede or go before those who are asleep. So there was this expectation in the early Christian church that Jesus' coming would happen very quickly. And we see that even in his letter to the Corinthians, where he expounds on how it will happen. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. But it isn't going to happen right away, and we'll get into that in the next segment. And so then he explains further in verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, or the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, what is the comfort that we have? Not only is it that the dead in Christ will rise, but when they will rise, we will join them. And it says, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air at his coming, and thus shall we be always with the Lord. This is the first time the dead in Christ will see the Lord. There's clear evidence all through these passages that there is no reality to the idea that you die and immediately go to heaven or to hell. No, it says those who are asleep, they're sleeping, awaiting the resurrection. And it is not until the resurrection that we will always be with the Lord.
I like that where it says, by no means precede. So when a person dies, they are resting. They will not precede until that second coming. And we all, it's almost like the family is reunited here. The Christian family, all those who love Jesus coming back, it says, love his appearing. When the whole family is brought together, then we'll rise to go. Not before that, only after the family is reunited at the second coming.
Tom, that is so true. And thank you, Cam. That was a wonderful overview of that. And I want to zero in on the fact that Cam was emphasizing that no one sees the Lord until Jesus comes again in the clouds of heaven. That's why the dead are simply asleep. But I want to focus and underline that with a powerful truth. It's found in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, now that even so is important. God will bring with him, in other words, he sends Jesus to the earth. He's going to bring back the righteous and the righteous living and the righteous dead. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now, I want to note something. When you are converted, you go to Romans chapter 6. The old man dies. What is that old man? That old man is our old sinful self. And that old sinful self is not going to live in that literal kingdom of God when Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That thing has to die. That self has to die. When it dies in repentance, and we repent before God's Ten Commandments, and we say, Lord, we are so sorry. We confess our guilt. We confess our sins. Would you forgive us? That we die at that moment. And then Jesus doesn't leave us dead. He says, I do forgive you, and I do am going to resurrect you. And he now resurrects us into a new creation. We become a new person. And it's because of that death of our old man, our old carnal, selfish nature, and the resurrection of this new unselfish person that we will experience the death and resurrection at the coming of Jesus. The spiritual death and resurrection is a guarantee, if you please, that when we die literally, we will be resurrected literally into the literal kingdom of Jesus. So that's why there is no going to heaven right now or going to hell right now or to purgatory or any of that kind of thing, because that experience of the old man dying and being resurrected, that is going to become our experience because we are connected with Christ. And that's how he resurrects us at the end of time when he comes again. So this is a very powerful picture of comforting people. And that's why the hope in the New Testament, the hope for those who died in Christ was never, oh, he's with the Lord. He's going to see the Lord. No, they don't go see the Lord right now. They don't see the Lord until they're resurrected when Jesus comes again in the clouds of glory. And we say that was sweet kindness, but people have just been misled. And here's the tragedy of people being misled. If people believe that their loved ones are alive in heaven, they think they might be able to contact them. And the devil takes advantage of that and masquerades himself and comes to them in some kind of apparition or some kind of a spiritual presence. And in fact, I have some people that I talked to and they had lost a loved one and they say, oh, I feel their presence. I feel their presence. You don't feel the presence of that loved one. That is the presence of somebody trying to get you to believe that your loved one is still alive when your loved one is really asleep in the grave waiting for the morning of the resurrection. And that resurrection is forever tied in Scripture to the coming of Jesus. The dead are simply asleep, waiting for the morning of the resurrection.
Anything else is a deception.
It is, and it's a tragic deception. I mean, it's a heart. Can you think? This shows you the cruelty of Satan and his evil angels. At the most tender moments when we've lost loved ones, when our hearts are broken, and we so much want to hear their voice again, to hear, feel their touch again, to be in communion with them again. Satan comes in and deceives us and uses that experience to try to get us to go down a road that will end in our eternal destruction. So if we have this understanding from Scripture that's clear, then we will know that the dead are simply asleep until the morning of the resurrection. Then if we have this feeling of somebody present, or we have an apparition, or we hear voices reporting to be our loved ones, or some supernatural experience where our loved one appears to us in a burst of light or into a flower or the moon or whatever, we will know that those things are from Satan. And there are plenty of stories where people, after the death of a loved one, they've been sitting in a room and all of a sudden their loved one shows up in the room. But because the people know this truth, they look at that person and say, "You're not my loved one. You are not my loved one. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Leave." And immediately that apparition will disappear and they are delivered from the oppression of evil spirits. So that's why it's so important to know this truth. And it's tied to the resurrection of Jesus, and the resurrection of the dead are tied to the coming of Jesus the second time.
Listeners, you are experiencing the Resurrection Then and Now special series on Strong Tower Radio. This program could be obtained from strongtowerradio.org on our website, and we want you to stay tuned for the rest of this program. We're looking at the second coming and the resurrection of the righteous. We'll be right back.